worship and kind of lead us in some prayer. Just praying about this morning, I feel like I was kind of directed by the Lord to ask you a question. God is always being put on trial by Satan. And things will happen in your life and that you didn't expect. Tough times. Or just things aren't going as smooth. What's your week been like? What's your month been like? How's this quarter been? What has the enemy been accusing God to your ears about? How has he been putting God on trial to convince you that you can't trust his heart fully? What's he been pointing to? If God really loved you, he wouldn't have let this happen. If God really cared, then he would have arranged this for you, and he didn't. I just want to read to you from Isaiah 49. Shout for joy, you heavens. Rejoice, you earth. Burst into song, you mountains. For the Lord comforts his people. For the Lord comforts his people. And will have compassion on his afflicted ones. That means he has afflicted ones. He will have compassion on his afflicted ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. The Lord has forgotten me. You ever feel that way? And then God responds, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she's born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you. See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. God is so in tune with where you're at, and he loves you so much, he's engraved you on the palms of his hands. That's the level of heart, connection, love, passion he has for you. And I just want to lead us in a time now of just prayer to maybe even repent of putting God on trial. I don't know who that's for. It may be only for one person this Sunday that's in that place that God has sort of directed me to do this, but I just want to invite you to pray this with me, okay? So, Jesus, Father God, I trust that you're good. I don't know. Maybe I don't have all the reasons for why things have gone the way they've gone, or the challenges I've faced, but I release you as to blame, and I surrender to you. I surrender my life to you. For all of us, we can do that, right? Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Just say that to him right now. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Tell him, I give you my body. Let's do it out loud. I give you my body. I give you my spirit. I give you my heart. Lord, the part of me that wants to be wanted, I lay it before you. You're the one who wants me and never stops. I give you my allegiance. Holy Spirit, restore my union with you today. In Jesus' name. Let's keep worshiping.
My name is BJ Hillebush. I've been the youth pastor here for 6 years now, and have been very blessed to see God moving in such amazing ways in our youth group. And I'm excited to share with you a new change. So I just ask that you would just join me in welcoming Sky Blake as our new junior high youth pastor. Come on out, buddy. I've known this handsome gentleman for quite some time now, and he is constantly challenging me, challenging my heart, and challenging me with his own pursuit and love for our students. And so I'm excited to invite him on as part of the team. So I'll still be doing Sundays. Scott will be taking over Tuesday nights with junior high. So this is exciting. It's an exciting new step and adventurous journey, and I'd like to invite you guys together with me. As we all know, when you jump into ministry, sometimes there's kind of a blip on the radar of the enemy. And that's usually when some stuff hits. So I want to just invite all of you to just pray with me for his family, for this ministry, and ask that God would protect him and then would bless this season this guy's here. So join with me. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for Sky. And God, I thank you for the heart, the tender heart, God, that you've given him, Lord, to pursue the people in his life, to pursue these junior hires. Lord, I pray, God, that you would give him wisdom, vision, direction. Lord, that he would always have a pulse on what you're doing and where you're going. And Lord, I pray right now, God, we just pray as a church body. Lord, we come together under the authority that you have given us, in Jesus' name, against the enemy who would try to steal, kill, and destroy, who would try to harm this ministry, who would try to harm his family, and we say no in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask, God, that you would send extra support, Lord, to guide him, to support him, to protect his family. And Lord, we just ask for a blessing in your name, Jesus, as a church body for this man and for his family. And pray, God, that you would cause this ministry to flourish, Lord, as he pursues your heart. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
I'll see if I can recreate my accidental joke from the first service. Hi, my name's Jeff. That's not the joke. But hey. But Sky, I've known Sky for over 15 years, and I said in the first service that he's challenged me every year that I've known him. But you guys took that the right way, because you're not laughing. In a good way, he's challenged me. He's challenged my walk. I'm excited to have two of my kids in junior high right now in this season where they get to be influenced and impacted by God working through Sky. So I'm excited about that. We're going to have the ushers go ahead and come forward, and we'll pray over the offering, and then I got a few announcements before Randy comes up for the message. Actually, we have a special guest even before that, so let's pray. Lord, thank you for blessing us, God. Everything we have comes from you, Lord, and so we give back to you. Would you use it for your kingdom, Lord? Would you bless this fellowship, this part of your body? Would you allow us to be able to use these funds in ways that further your kingdom and bring your light to this world, God? We give them with thanksgiving. We don't give grudgingly. We are excited, Lord, to give back to you and watch it be used for your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so a few announcements. We have a newcomers class coming up on the 28th. If you're new visiting this morning, we're super excited you're here. There's a connection card in your bulletin. If you want to fill that out, drop it in the basket in the back, and we'd just love to be able to say hi to you. If you've been here for maybe the last few months, you've started coming to Adventure, or maybe you're here first time this morning, think about coming on the 28th. Newcomers class is just a small group setting where you can ask questions about Adventure Church. We can get to know you. You can get to know us. And just kind of look at how Adventure got started, what our core values are, how we do ministry, what we feel like God has given us as a mission here in this community. So put that on your calendar. It'll be after the second service in the Fellowship Hall, which is the building just on the other side of the parking lot here. We also have winter service time changes. So on the, I believe that's Sunday the 4th of November, we're going to go to 9 o'clock and 11. And I can hear some people going, yeah, I get to sleep in. So I had to get up and make a fire this morning. It was kind of chilly. Children's ministry meeting is after this service. Now, this is if you work in children's ministry. This is if you have children who go to children's ministry. If you have children downstairs right now or across the way in elementary, hang out after this service right in the sanctuary here. Got a really important meeting just kind of sharing some vision, and it involves your own chillins. So I encourage you all to come to that. And red carpet, remember Randy was talking about our red carpet ministry we're starting up. And I think, 20 or 30 people signed up for that, 7:30 a.m. next Sunday. It's not going to be 7:30 every week that we're asking you to come, but we do want to start out with a bang with that, just that message that, you know, we want to give our Sundays to God, and we want to serve. We want to be that red carpet to people who are coming. They've dared to step into the doors of a church to maybe find out what's God like. We want to meet them with God's character, his love, through us. So if you sign that card, show up next Sunday, 7:30, for some orientation, some prayer, and preparation for kicking off that ministry. And then if you work at Microsoft, which there's enough people here who work at Microsoft that it requires an announcement here on Sunday morning. Come, this is next Sunday, so the 14th, and it's in the, can't read it, is it that going to be in the fellowship hall? I believe that's across the way in the fellowship hall too. We're just going to talk about how the matching funds program works and how to best utilize that. Also, if you're in worship ministry, just a reminder, 6 o'clock tonight here for an important meeting about worship ministry. And now we have a special guest with us here visiting from the Philippines, and Wes is going to come up and introduce her properly, and then she's going to share some stuff with us. So let's welcome her.
Whenever I have the privilege of being up here in front and talking a little bit about Fruit Bearers, which is our work in the Philippines, as most of you know, I have the privilege of sharing the name Joy. And this morning, we have the privilege of having Joy Cagadas Rutolo here with us, all the way from the Philippines, all the way from Negros Oriental, her first time in the United States, her first time to stand up in front of a church like this and give a testimony about what we're doing in Fruit Bearers. Make her feel welcome. Yeah. Also with her is her husband, Robert. Robert, stand up and wave way in the back there. Okay. And also with us this morning is my wife, Judy. Judy, stand up. Okay. We are going to have a short meeting after the second service where Joy can share with those of you who are sponsoring a child, give you details about your child, the latest update on them. Also, if anybody is here who would like to hear more about Fruit Bearers or consider sponsoring a child, we can talk about that as well. It will be over in the fellowship hall upstairs. We will have food available. Also, if you are a parent going to the parent meeting, be sure and do that, but come over and check with us. Maybe we'll still be going after that meeting. So, at this time, it's my privilege and my joy to present and turn over the microphone to Joy.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. I thought I'm alone here. God is just working something so amazing I cannot explain. But my heart is burning to share his love to all of you who shared love to all the kids back in the Philippines. Thank you for giving me this life-changing opportunity to share back the love that you have shared to all of us. I won't give numbers of how many souls have been brought to the Lord for the past few months, and for all the kids that have enjoyed the support of individuals here. I'm excited to meet you this afternoon. And I thank Adventure Church for giving the baby to the Philippines, and that is fruit bearers. You're scared that Adventure Church will get pregnant someone there. But to all of you and the Pastor Randy, I came here thinking that I'm here because of the glory of God, to His kingdom, for His kingdom, and for Jesus Christ to be known in the world. And that's all what I'm here for, and to share with you His love. We cannot deny His love, as the song says, but I am not also fear to be standing nervously here. And lastly, I just want to share this verse that touched me, and I hope it will be imprinted in all of your hearts. Philippians 4:17, not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking what may credited to your account. So whatever blessing you've shared, the love and everything that I cannot explain or tell you everything right now, but it's all in credited in you. This church will be blessed because you bless us. We are in great need, desperate need, maybe physically, but like I'm so blessed to hear this one of the familiar face that came to the Philippines, and that is Sister Linda, that all people have the same needs. So we all have the same needs, and that great need that my, like a father here, Sir Wes, said that we all need Jesus, and that's our all desperate need right now. Thank
you. Joy walks with God. And she shared first hour how she was 14 years old when God first spoke to her heart and said, you're gonna go up into the hills and you're gonna rescue these kids, these children who are deaf, who are needing surgeries, and now there's hundreds that are impacted, and many of you sponsor a child in the Philippines. I'd ask for a raise of hands, but I know you guys want to keep that anonymous, but and there's opportunity for more. So after this, head over. There's going to be food and a chance for you to hear about the children who have been sponsored and how well they're doing, and see just miraculous pictures of surgeries and change. And then there's going to be a chance for you to maybe pick up sponsoring someone, you know, changing their life forever. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I know what you told me to do this morning with this. I pray, Lord, that you would come and just intervene and speak. And Lord, we want to surrender to what you have to say. And so, Lord, would you come for us now? Would you come in this part of the service or this part of our time together? And we just want to come against anything, all distraction, every way the enemy would try to steal, even just false weariness or any of that. No to that in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, would you bring clarity of thought into every heart, every mind, in Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever felt like, I used to be really spiritual. I used to really walk with God. I used to be so much sharper. I used to be making an impact. Remember those days when you were really on? Anybody ever feel that way? Some of you? Like, there was a time in my past when I was really tight with God, and it was awesome. Maybe not so much right now. Anybody else? Yeah? Come on, all of us can relate to that a little bit. I want to show you a film clip. How many of you seen the film Gladiator? A few of you? Okay. We're gonna see a scene from the film Gladiator. If you haven't seen the film, it's about a man named Maximus, who is the general of the Felix Legions. He's a truly truly a good man. He's a man of deep character. He was on top. He had respect. He had the love, not just the respect and the obedience of the men under him, but he had their love because he was willing to give his life for them. They knew it. There's just this amazing way that he related with these guys, and even the emperor himself said, "You're the son that I love. You're the son that should inherit my kingdom." And then, kind of the prince of darkness comes in and attacks him and strips everything. He loses everything. He loses his position. He loses his home. He even loses his family. He is demoralized, and he has lost heart. So I want to roll this scene and just talk about it for a minute. Man, I can relate to that. Sometimes I feel just like him. Like I was that man once. But I used to have strength. I used to be sharp. I used to have a spiritual power. But now I kind of feel like a slave. Can you relate to that at all? Ever feel that way? Slave, maybe, even at work or at home, or with the kids, or even in a ministry area that you embrace with passion at one point. But now, what's happened with that? I mean, you don't go long in this world at war, and rest assured, we're in a world at war, where you take blows without feeling that way once in a while. And some experience entire chapters feeling like that, just taken out. So I kind of want to ask you to pick a number this morning, all right? Where are you at lately? Last week, last month, this quarter? Are you ready to walk up to the gates of hell with a bazooka and ring the bell? Or are you more kind of, I'd like to move to a cabin in a woods in Montana or Tahiti maybe? Get rid of the phone. So just take a second. Let's put some music on here, and we'll just ask you to pick a number. And once you pick a number, tell somebody around you what your number is. Okay, if they're talking. Be honest, the truth will set you free. So here's Maximus. I'm nothing but a slave. You know, he's got the chains and he's nothing but a slave. And everything had been taken away from him. He had gone through a lot. But what he didn't know was what was coming next for him was he was actually going to bring down the kingdom of darkness and bring the kingdom of light in just a short time. He thought he had nothing to offer. He thought he was demoralized. He thought he was in his darkest hour. Have you ever noticed that the darkest hour often precedes the greatest explosion of victory? Why is that? I think it's often because a purification is needed. There's a purification of heart that is needed in our lives. And sometimes brought by the kingdom of the enemy, sometimes allowed by God, because we need our hearts fully alive to his kingdom. You were put on this planet and called to be God's son or daughter so that you could walk intimately with him, walk with God, and literally bring the kingdom of God into the kingdom of darkness and tear down the kingdom of darkness. That's your mission. That's what God put you here for. And so often we look at our story and we go, I've got nothing to offer because of whatever happened. Whatever's in my backstory, whatever my asterisks are next to my name, my failures, my sin, whatever it is that's come my way, we don't think we could bring down the evil emperor. I'm just a slave. But Maximus was wrong about that. And so are you. So are you. But I think that many are sleeping under that lie and are not arriving with their full strength, their full self for the kingdom of God. What did it require of Maximus to bring down the kingdom of darkness? What do you have to do? Huh? He had to die. Simple. Same with you. It's all he had to do is die. I mean, you see this theme everywhere, isn't it? I mean, every film that has captured you has this theme, right? Jack gives his life so that Rose can live. Maximus gives his life so that Rome could be set free. Neo gives his life to defeat the agents. And on and on and on. And God gives his life so that you could be set free. And then Jesus says, if a man would seek to save his life, he will what? Lose it. But if he lays his life down, if he dies for my sake, he will what? He'll gain it. All you have to do is die. Good news or bad news? Yes. The bad news is, if you want life, you must die. The good news is, if you want life, you must die. It will set you free. But it's really hard to die, because we don't really know what we need to die from. So I want to give you some ideas on how that looks. We're kind of introducing the book of Hebrews a little bit today. We're going to introduce it more next week. We're entering into a study of the book of Hebrews. And the crescendo of Hebrews is chapter 10. Hebrews is about God making a way so that man can be in his presence and walk with him like he had in the garden in the cool of the day. It's God making a way so that we can be intimate with him and friends with him again. And then he's deploying us to bring that into other people's lives. And then after Hebrews hits that chapter 10 and it brings that exclamation point, then he goes into Hebrews 11, which is like, here's a list of people who did this. Here's a list of people who walked with me throughout their life. And I want to just kind of share some of those with you. One of them, it starts off, it says, by faith, this is straight out of Hebrews 11, by faith Abel offered a better sacrifice than Cain did. Now Cain brought some of the grain from his crops. It says, some of is an offering. Abel gave fat portions from the firstborn lambs of his flock. So if you're breeding animals and that's your livelihood, the firstborns are your, they're your breeding stock. They're your, if you give the firstborns up, you postpone your income. It's a big sacrifice. He had to die to himself, to what he thought might work financially. And God was pleased with that. The next one is Enoch. This guy Enoch, it's crazy. Not a whole lot said about him. Genesis basically says Enoch walked with God and then he was no more because God took him away. He walked with God 300 years and he was no more. God took him away. Here's a guy who decided nothing else in my life's going to matter except my walk with God. And in order, I guaranteed, if you make your walk with God the number one most important thing in your life, you will have to die and die and die and live and live and live and live. Trust me, it will be life, but you have to die to a lot of things. And he made his personal, his intimate walk with God the most important thing, the hardest thing in life to do, making your walk with God number one. And he did it, and after 300 years, God's like, I can't wait for this guy to die. Because these guys lived longer. Back, you know, before the flood, you know, the theory is there's a canopy of vapor and radiation didn't get in and everybody lived longer. But I don't know. That's what creation scientists say. So this God's like, I'm not waiting for this dude to die. We're tight. Nope, you just come now. You come now. How would you like the story of your life to be, and he walked with God? The most hallmark thing of his life is he walked with God. She walked with God. How would you like that to be the hallmark of your life? You're known for that. Some of you are. Some of you are. Another guy, Noah. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family and like the animals, right? How did he die? How did Noah have to die doing that? Think about it. What are some ways he had to die? They thought, can you imagine? You're building a big aircraft carrier in your front yard. I mean, can you imagine the ridicule? I don't want to wear, you know, we're afraid to wear a Jesus Loves Me t-shirt because we don't want people to laugh at us. Here he's building this giant ark. Just so the work itself, but then what people might think. are we more afraid of the work or what people might think? Are you more afraid of working or are people not thinking well of you? Let's look at a clip of what it might have been like for Noah. Okay?
Development means the advancement of jobs, an increase in domestic commerce. If you happen to like those things, I invite you to join myself and my co-sponsors.
As the rain and the floods come, I heard you, everyone. I heard you, John. Please, you gotta believe me.
So, what if you walked with God and you started hearing him actually talk to you? Would you want anybody to know? Would you want anybody to know what he said? What if he told you to do something really wacky? I mean, can you imagine? Build an ark? That's you? What's the first step you'd take? I got the wrong guy, God. Walking with God will require you to die to what other people think. Maybe even your spouse. Maybe even your family. Depending on where they're at. You have to die. Another guy, Abraham, called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He was a wealthy man in a posh town called Ur. About 2500 BC had running water, plumbing. It's an amazing town. Very advanced in the Middle East. And I want you to leave your home. You think God might want you to leave your home? comfortable home? Might. Required him to die to himself, but what did Abraham, did it outweigh what he died to? Always does. Always does. And that's faith to decide that for yourself. Moses, when he had grown up, he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. It's interesting. Did you know Moses knew there was going to be a Christ? And he, I mean, this is 1,500 years before Jesus was born. But he knew Christ was coming and that because he walked with God and he talked with God, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. And by the time that God called Moses, he was kind of an old man, really. He was maybe 80, they estimate. That's about the time that he should be buying an RV and spending his winters down south and really thinking about retirement. But he had to die to that in his walk with God. You have to die to your plans to walk with God. You got to be willing to die to your plans. You got to be willing to die to what you think may be the best thing for you. You don't understand. See, I've had this problem with my bursitis. And I really need, what is God saying to you? Maybe God is saying, take care of the bursitis. Or maybe God is saying, you step out with me and walk with me and I'll take care of the bursitis. Or whatever other itis there might be. Listen to what Hebrews 11 says about all these people, Hebrews 11, 13 through 15, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. So they weren't even living for the things being gotten in this life. And they admitted they were aliens and strangers on the earth. People who say such things show that they're looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they'd left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing, listen to this, for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. See, all of these people found something much larger to live for in this life than the things of this world or the things that they thought were important. They were living for something bigger, something better, something more beautiful called the kingdom of God and their walk with God, and actually it set them free. That was the one thing that they were after. They decided there's one thing that I'm after. And it's my walk with God. And they were unique. They were very unique. That they lived to walk with God. And God's response was, somebody's chasing me. Somebody's pursuing me. I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to prepare a city for them. I'm going to make them my priority, a community for them. That's what Hebrews is saying. God responds when we make walking with him our priority. But few do. Have you noticed that? Few really walk with God. That's my experience. There's many, many Christians, but few who really walk with God. Have you noticed that? God knows that his presence and walking with him is the best thing for you. He knows that living like these people that are listed here is the best thing for you. He knows that being in his presence is like being in the presence of the sun. You get more tan, you get more beautiful the longer you spend under the sun, right? It's being with God in his presence. The more time, the more you walk with him, the more you become beautiful. You see this with people that you know who really walk with God long term. Can you think of people right now who you know who have walked with God long term? Think of them. What's unique about them to you? What are some of their attributes that, because they've walked with God long term, they're different? What's different? Can you give me some things?
Humility.
They have a humility about them.
They have a conviction.
They walk with conviction.
Peace.
They have a peace.
Power.
They have a power. Yes. Huh?
Gentleness.
And there's a gentleness.
Courage.
They have joy, typically. Unless they're in sorrow. Yeah? They're giving. I noticed, too, just a nobility. Have you noticed kind of a nobility about them? I mean, the people that I know that have walked with God long term, there is just this, even when their head's down, their head's up in nobility. Not in, you know, aloofness, but just they know who's holding them. They're beautiful, frankly. The most beautiful people I've ever known are the people that I know who have walked with God long term. Would you agree? I mean, I look around. I get a chance to know a lot of people. People who walk with God, really walk with God, they are magnets. God knows that the best thing for you is to walk with him. It's interesting that it's so rare. Why is it so rare? Why aren't there more people who walk with God like that? Huh?
It's opposed.
The most opposed thing in your life, absolutely, is your intimate walk with God. Period. We'll talk about that in a minute. What else? We're focused on our stuff, things, what's going on in the world. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
That it is incredibly hard to walk with God. In fact, why so hard? Same question, our small story, the stuff of this world. We get wrapped up in little stories, don't we? The small stuff takes us out. What's the small story you've been in lately? God's got this big story going on. Let me explain. When you walk with God, you get aligned with the heart of God. You spend time in God's presence, you start to care about the things he cares about. You don't spend time in God's presence, you start to care about the things you care about. They could be good things. They could be great things. Tom shared at the men's retreat this last weekend a phenomenal message about being distracted and sports and hobbies and painting the house and all the things that you can sink yourself into instead of the kingdom of God. And then you get so into those things that they're cool things, but you kind of lose track. Can you relate to that? You remember Jonah? Jonah's the book in the Bible about this. God has this incredible heart for these people of Nineveh, 140,000 people who don't know their right hand from their left. Jonah is in a small story about stuff that he cares about, and he's also prejudiced against these guys. And God says, I want you to go preach to them. And he says, thumbs down, I'm not going to go. So God sends a whale, right? And swallows him, right? It's a fairy tale in the Bible. Didn't really happen, right? I believe it really happened. And he spits him out on the shore, and he's like, all right, I'll go. God put a gun to his, you know, you're going to go. So he goes, okay, I'll go. You know, so he goes, he preaches to the people of Nineveh, and they repent. Now he's really ticked because he didn't like them. So he's sitting on a hill, and he's overlooking the city, and God makes this vine grow up and gives him shade. And it says God provided a vine, so it shaded him because it was really hot in the Middle East. And then it says, and then God provided a worm to nibble the root of the vine so it would wither, and it withered overnight so that Jonah's head got beaten down in the sun. And then Jonah, it says he wanted to die because his shade tree was taken away. His small story was taken away. God is the master of worm sending, shade tree nibbling, take away your small story deal. And then God says, here's 140,000 people that know their right hand from the left. And he says, many cattle as well, which blows me away about God, that he cares about the cattle. And he's like, and you're worried about this stinking vine and your comfort and your little story. When you spend time walking with God, you get aligned with what matters to him. Your worldview changes. You start to care about what he cares about. Satan hates that. He doesn't want a bunch of Jesuses walking around. That's what will happen if you spend time with God, if you walk with God, if you make that your priority. So he would do anything to stop that. But before we go to how it's opposed, what's your small story? What have you been stuck in? What's your shade tree? Take a minute with that. What's been keeping you from walking with God? Anybody have the first thing that came to their mind was one word? Time is what's keeping me from walking with God. Anybody have that come up just now? It's opposed, as Gary said. And I think number one opposition is he convinces you you don't have the time. He gets you distracted and so buried that you don't have the time. You don't think you have the time. I know I started the message with you have to die, so it's kind of a moot point to say, really, you don't have the time? Guess what? You have to die. Something's got to die. For you to make him your priority, something's got to die. So you have to die to make walking with him your priority. I don't know what that is in your life. I know for me it's constantly a new list. But it's opposed. Nothing is more, let's put it this way, Satan is set against nothing else in your life more than he's set against you walking with God. And the reason why is just what I said. You become like him. You become like God when you walk with God. Satan's tack, the way he's done this, is ancient. From the very beginning, he started with poisoning our walk with God, follow me here, with accusing God to us. He puts God on trial and says, God has failed you, God doesn't care, he let this happen, he's holding back from you, he's restrictive, he's all about no, and he's always telling you, you can't trust God enough to fully follow him, to fully release everything to follow him wherever he may lead. Let me ask you a question, 1 to 10. 1 to 10. 10 being, if I follow God with my life, it's going to be the best thing for me and my family to fully follow no matter what, wherever he may lead. That's a 10. 1 is, if I follow God, with something bad's going to happen to my family, something bad's going to happen to me, it's not going to work out, and I'll be hurt. If I really go all the way, I'm going to be the person sodden too. I'm going to be the person who gets, God eats their lunch. What's your number? If it's anything less than a 10, you've agreed with the enemy, having God on trial. You're absolutely convinced, you've become convinced that God's leadership isn't to be fully trusted, and it worked on you. It's been opposed and it worked. That's been always the deal. He said to Eve, you can't trust him. He's withholding and he's restrictive, and she bought it. And if you buy it, forget walking with God. Because how can you walk with somebody you think's going to eat your lunch? You know? Who's going to lead you out into the desert to die? You know? If you pray, I'll give everything to you. Well, I know he's going to send me to Africa because I don't want to go to Africa. If that's your conviction about God and what he's like, then you've bought into that lie. And so then what I've already said, he distracts you. He distracts you. You'll try to pray. You'll try to spend time with God. Everything will get in the way. The phone will ring. Or you'll try to pray and you can't think about God, and you'll think about everything else in your to-do list. And then he accuses you. You don't love God because you're distracted. And then he convinces you that you don't have the time. So it's opposed. I think it's really important that we walk with God, people. Listen to what Jesus said about the end times. He said, then you will be handed over. This is what's coming. I wonder if it's in our lifetime. I'm actually a little more terrified that it's in our kids' lifetime, but it feels like this is coming very soon. Then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, look at this, the love of most will grow cold. How's your love been doing? But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And the love of most will grow cold. There's going to be a time in the church's history that is coming where we'll betray each other and our hearts will grow cold. And some will walk with God. Will one of them be you? I hope today that the effect of what I've shared is to ask you to examine your priorities. and that you would choose him to reprioritize. Maybe repentance and purification of some things that the enemy's had on you, lied to you about, accused God, accused you. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and life to the full. What happened to all the apostles that were left after Judas? They all died for their faith. And somehow that was life to the full. And I think if you had tracked and walked around with those dudes, you'd have been, this guy's life. This dude, this man, I want to be just like him. You could hang, you know, but yes, when you sign up for Christianity, you aren't signing up for an easy life. Life to the full doesn't mean that it's, you know, going to roll in on a tray. So there's a balance there, and I really don't know how that works, but I'm pretty sure both are true. I'm pretty sure that if you walk with God, it's going to mean that you will have to die. And if you walk with God, that you're going to have life to the full. I'm pretty sure both are true. So let's pray. And Jesus, we just pray that you take these words, whatever was from you, Lord, seal it. Seal it in our hearts. Lord, would you cause stirring to happen and drive us to you, Lord. Call us back. Purify our hearts, our motives. Lord, cause this body to walk with you intimately, to pursue our walks with you personally, individually, And Lord, that we would prioritize that, whatever it takes, whatever we have to die to, Lord. And I invite you to identify in my life the things that are causing me to hold back, the things that are keeping me back from fully walking with you. And Lord, I invite you to strip them away. I invite you, Lord, to send a worm and get rid of my shade tree. And then, Lord, would you be my shade tree? In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good afternoon. Remember, joy is over there, children's here. Of water, earth, and sky.